Happy New Year, everybody. Today is indeed a new year. This is the new year of our church liturgical season. So, of course, our earthly calendar is January 1st is the beginning of a new year, and that ends on December 31st. But in the calendar of the church, our life is centered around Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection. This is why we exist. If our entire life is not centered around Jesus Christ, the question is, what is it centered around? And so today is a new year, the first Sunday of Advent. And so throughout the year we progress. We begin with Advent, waiting for the Lord's coming. He is then born into the world. We then journey through His entire life, His death, and then His resurrection for the salvation of our sins. And so indeed, Happy New Year. And throughout this liturgical year, we of course wear different colors to signify different celebrations. And so I am now of course wearing purple, as all the priests throughout the entire world are doing this Sunday. And so these different colors of the season signify different things. For instance, if the priest would be wearing red, that would either signify the flame of the Holy Spirit, or it could possibly be for a saint day, a saint who died a martyr, died a bloody death for the gospel, the red signifying the blood they poured out. If it is ordinary time, we wear green, in order to signify that through those weeks of ordinary time, we are growing, to represent like the growth of grass. Things grow in nature, that green new life. If we are wearing white, it could signify Jesus Christ, King of the universe, like last week, or it could be the Blessed Mother, or possibly we would be celebrating a saint who did not die a bloody death, died a natural death, but the white representing the purification of their soul, that now they are completely cleansed, everything wiped clean. So then during Advent, we wear purple, as well as during Lent. What does this purple mean? First thing is that purple throughout history has always been a color of royalty. It was garb of kings would be typically purple. And so, of course, we are awaiting our king to come into the world, King Jesus. So we wear purple to represent his royalty. But even greater, purple is always a penitential color. Penitential or penance is always something that helps cleanse or purify our brokenness, our sin, to remove the gunk in order to help ourselves grow in the spiritual life. This is why after confession you receive a penance. This makes you holier. And so throughout this Advent season, what we are called to do is wipe away and cleanse ourselves of our brokenness. It's almost like through Advent we are prepping ourselves for something great, the birth of Jesus Christ. And whenever there is anything great, we do indeed want to get ready. If somebody is going to a wedding or to some royal event, people would never wear to a wedding shorts and like, you know, dirty t-shirt and gym shoes. Rather, because greatness is going to happen, people's going to put on their suits, their beautiful dresses, because greatness is happening, we should look great. And so in the same sense, over this Advent season, we are called in a sense to put on our spiritual suits, our spiritual beautiful dresses, because the King of the universe is coming, and so we want to cleanse our souls to be ready for that arrival. And so indeed, we are waiting for the birth of Jesus in just 21 days on Christmas, but we are also during Advent waiting the second coming of Jesus, which could happen at any moment. Could happen by the end of Mass. And so that is what we are waiting for, Jesus to be born and His second coming. And now, of course, we as human beings, the question is, do we like waiting? Do we enjoy waiting? Well, I would say sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And so, for instance, just a couple weeks ago, I went out to dinner with my great aunt Amariga. Great aunt Amariga is also my godmother, and she is the ripe age of 95. And she is still kicking it strong. She lives alone, drives a vehicle, can walk without assistance. She's in better shape than I am. And so great Aunt Amerigan and I went to dinner because I try to see her as much as possible because she's getting up there in age. She's 95. And so we went to dinner to this Italian restaurant in Chicago, in the city where she lives. And so we got to the restaurant, and it was pretty empty when we had arrived. So the host greets us, he brings us to the booth, we sit down, and we begin talking. And after about 3 minutes, I already thought, where's the waiter? Where's he at? I haven't been greeted yet. And then about a minute later, 4 minutes in, I think, where's my water? I should have a water by now. Really? I should, shouldn't I? And then by 5 minutes, I'm thinking, where's my bread? I'm supposed to have bread and water with a lemon after 5 minutes, and I don't. And I was getting so upset. It was the matter of maybe just a commercial break on television. And I was already at such a place of anger of like, where is this man? What is he doing back there? This guy isn't doing his job. I need a water, I need a lemon, I need bread. And I'd already written him off. I was already judging him. So that by the time he did get to the table, I was already like, you're a bad waiter. Right? Isn't that terrible? I only waited 5 minutes and I went to that place of judgmental thoughts. Already thinking, oh, sorry, worth tip or something. It's crazy. I was despising the moment of waiting. And this happens often, right? We go to the doctor. When we wait that time for the doctor, we get so impatient, so angry. What's he doing back there? I don't know, saving lives? Right? He's doing something great. But because we are so impatient in our waiting, it robs us of the present moment. In those 5, 6, 7 minutes, I could not be present to my great aunt. I could not even really participate in our conversation because all I was thinking about was water and bread and the waiter. So there's that waiting. And then a different type of waiting. We all know when there's a holiday or a birthday, we at times host those celebrations. And so when we're hosting, we of course are waiting for people to come over. But what do? We don't just sit there and hang out. No, we probably clean the house. We run around, we vacuum, we dust, we clean our room, we want everything to look presentable. And then we cook. We go out to the store, we pick up certain items, we plan out what should I make. I want to impress everybody. I want really good food. I don't want things to burn. I don't want things to be crazy. I want it to be nice. And yes, it's hectic. Yes, at times it can be kind of crazy and a little frustrating, but there's this joy in the fact that I get to prepare for people to come over. And when they do arrive, you're like, look at my home. It never looks like this. Right? Look how clean it is. Look at the meal. And now that type of waiting, we don't despise. We invite people over and we don't mind cleaning for them because we want it to look good. We want the food to taste well. And so what is it about this first waiting and this second waiting? Well, the reality is the first one is inactive. The second one is active. When I was at that restaurant, I was inactively waiting, meaning I was sat down and I was waiting for that person to do something, that person to serve me. And in my frustration, because he wasn't doing what I wanted, I was getting even more impatient because he wasn't changing. I wanted him to do what I wanted. And so I became frustrated, I became angry, I became judgmental. And we often do this in our lives. When we are angry with another person, expecting them to change, I can promise you we are inactively waiting. We are sitting there and saying, it's your time to change. We do this all the time. If we are in a difficult marriage and things are falling apart, and at times we think, I'm going to sit here and here's my list of things, my criteria. You do this, 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 and that, and then things will be better. You change. And then because they don't, you become angry. You become frustrated. Or, hey, I haven't spoken to my brother in years, and I've got this list of things he needs to do, waiting for him to call me up. And the more time that passes, the more angry I become. I have this grudge against my parents or my in-laws. And every time I see them, I don't see a person, I see an object of my hate. I think once they change, I won't be so angry. I forgave them, but I'll never forget. And so we inactively wait, and when we inactively wait, we become bitter, we become depressed, and life seems dreary. In fact, we even do this with God. We all know that place of our heart when the world seems to be falling apart, when we have that heavy cross, which we all know we have a cross, each one of you in this place, myself included, we all have a cross that nobody else really knows about. And typically in that cross, we even turn to God and say, God, what are you doing up there? Why aren't you fixing things? Make my life better. You need to change, God. Inactively waiting. And the reality is, if we inactively wait, we might wait forever. Because God's not going to change, and God can't make anyone else change. In the second preparation, we are active. People are coming. I want to prepare, and I do it joyfully. When a new baby is coming into the world and you're pregnant, you joyfully want to, yeah, let's go and pick up those things to paint the room and to pick up some clothes because we want to greet this new life into the world. And when we actively wait, greater things happen. And so the question for each one of us is, yes, Jesus is going to come into the world on December 25th. He is going to show up for the second coming. It could be at the end of Mass. It could be tomorrow. It could be in a week. It could be in 20 years. But the question is, if Jesus came tomorrow, could you say to him, I've been actively waiting. I haven't been sitting here telling everyone else to change, but I've actually been cleaning my heart. I've been cleaning the vessel and home of my own soul. Will we be able to say those words to him? And the way we gauge that is, today is the first Sunday of Advent. We have 4 weeks to prepare for Christmas. And if we are the same person today as we are on December 25th, then we did nothing. We waited inactively. If you are the same person today as you are in a year, then you've inactively waited. And so the question is, what things are we going to affirm today and promise to the Lord that we will do over this Advent season so that when Jesus does come, we have been preparing, we have been cleansing our soul, and we are excited to see him? What does that look like? Wherever we are in our prayer life, maybe that means I'm going to start praying every single day of Advent for 15 minutes. I'm not going to be in my car. I'm not going to be cooking. I'm going to sit in a chair, look at an image of Jesus, and pray for 15 minutes. And then maybe after that, I'll do 5 minutes of scripture reading. 20 minutes a day in total, 24 hours a day. We can give God 20. Will I devote those 20 minutes? Will I say, for this entire Advent, I'm going to make sure I'm at every Sunday Mass? Will I say this Advent that when my spouse says that thing to me that just digs into my heart and tears me apart, instead of raging back with venom back at them, I'm going to maybe just allow my impatience to go down, leave for a second, and come back so that I don't say irrational things? Will I allow that to happen? So as we walk forward for communion today and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, make a firm affirmation. What are you going to do to actively wait? So that when Jesus does come again, December 25th or tomorrow, you can be joyful, not afraid. If you're afraid of Jesus coming, then it might be inactive. But if we're actively pursuing him, then you'll be so filled with hope. When you pursue someone you love, it's joyful. When a man pursues the woman he loves, it's joyful. She loves being pursued. So let's pursue the Lord so that when he shows up to greet us, we can greet him as well with joyful hope.